Hello, everyone. My name is Joshua Gilliland, attorney blogger on Bowtie Law, and with the talented Jessica Meterson on The Legal Geeks. Ms. Meterson, partner, Esquire, how are you tonight?
I am good, Josh, overall, although I have to say I have been sad this week about the tragic loss of Robin Williams. It's hit me harder than I thought it would.
Me too. And it's because we grew up with him. We're of the age where when he debuted first on Happy Days, our lives followed his career path.
Yeah.
And with multiple generations. So it's very hard not to have loved him.
He is. He's one of those people that, yeah, he's always been around as long as I can remember. I found him funny as a kid, and I found him funny as an adult. And then obviously, to learn that he was struggling so much and, you know, obviously had to come to such a tragic end too makes it all the harder.
There was a friend on Facebook who posted a comment about the death of a World War II vet and how this guy should be remembered like Williams, and we're all bad people for having strong feelings towards Robin Williams. And to the folks who feel that way, my answer is very direct. That World War II vet was a hero. But we didn't watch him growing up. And when you have someone who's been intimately involved in lives of individuals, you feel that connection. And if we did a retrospective on a World War II vet, people would feel that for that individual.
You're right. It just feels more personal, right? I mean, obviously every loss, and there's, especially right now and all over, there are lots of tragedies going on, but it is, with him, it is someone that you felt like you knew because he was someone that you saw all the time and that made you laugh too. It's always sad. And of course, you know, the tears of a clown. I mean, it's kind of the cliche, but it is a real cliche about the struggle that so many comedians and comics and funny people go through where they're hiding such sadness and such struggle. And I think that dichotomy too is something that really strikes people.
He also made time to help others with
Speaking of war heroes.
Yeah. With going to frontline locations on USO shows, and that YouTube clip that's gone around from a couple years ago, I don't remember if it was in Afghanistan or in Iraq, but his set was interrupted by colors, which for those who don't know what that is, that's at sunset, they lower the American flag, and then it goes up at dawn or 0800, depending on the base and the service, but down at sunset. Well, that interrupted a set, and everyone turned around and faced the flag because that's what people in the military do. And then the next day he was asked about it while he was out hanging out with GIs, and he posed with a guy to take his picture, and he answered the question, and he stopped the GI from leaving and said, "Did you get your picture?" Didn't need to do that, but he made sure that 19-year-old got his picture. And he was a good human being, which is why this is so sad to have lost him.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I think the struggle that people go through with depression and that really serious depression, I think a lot of people, if they don't have a loved one who's actually dealt with that serious, not just, you know, times are tough right now or other struggles, but that deep crippling depression, which I have had people I love had to struggle with that. That's such a hard, hard struggle too. And so obviously the fact that he had to struggle with that, that anyone has to struggle with that is sad.
We had basically adopted family member. She was my grand aunt's nurse she was in the twilight of her life. They were in Florida. And after my grand aunt passed, she moved out here to California. My grandparents kind of adopted her. She worked at my grandfather's dental office and was a nurse and was doing stuff. And she killed herself.
Oh.
26 years old. And she was a model. She was amazing. She was a wonderful, sweet person. But had feelings of loss from bad things that had happened in her life and a relationship that had ended, and she killed herself. And a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people have dealt with that you know, that horrible, horrible thing of someone who's lost hope. And, you know, there's that feeling of what could we have done to have helped them. And because of that feeling, everyone has to be feeling, you know, an amazing amount of sympathy and compassion for Robin Williams' family.
Yeah, I can't imagine how difficult this must be for them right now. Mm. On the plus side, I do think one thing that hopefully helps them is how many wonderful things are being said about him. And you're right, more and more stories. Conan O'Brien told the story about the goofy bike that Robin Williams bought for him after he lost the Tonight Show to try and cheer him up. There was a bike messenger who talked about he'd gone into a bike shop and Robin Williams was there and had to replace his tires or something and found out the next day that Robin Williams had bought a new bike for him. So at least, you know, it's obviously a small consolation, but I think it helps anyone who's lost a loved one to hear how much people do love that person and, you know, all the great things about them. So with that being said, I think we should, before I start crying, get off the sad part and let's focus on some of the great joy that he brought to all of us. I had to jump in. I loved a lot of his works, but at the end of the day, my absolute favorite that I could watch every week with or without my kids is Aladdin. I thought he was just, I mean, just for pure out funny, you know, probably his stand-up, I think his stand-up was called Live at the Met, was also hysterical, but this Aladdin was just fantastic, and I just love that movie and love him in it so much.
Yeah, he was the type of guy you wanted to hug. You know, just, I remember watching Mork and Mindy as a kid, and it being one of those shows that we would watch as a family, whether I was at my grandparents or with my mom, and that was fun. It was one of the TV shows I remember as a kid. One of the two. And so you get to go from there, and there's a lot in between. There's so much in between. But I was always very fond of, from the first real serious role where he got, you know, the Oscar nomination was Good Morning Vietnam.
Which was fantastic. He was amazing in that.
You know, love that soundtrack.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it has his audio on it as well. I mean, music great, and the history side of it great, and reading about Adrian Cronauer is also very interesting. Hmm. Interesting man. To lesser known ones, Club Paradise, where he was.
Oh my God! Okay. I should have started with that. That is always my favorite, just horrible movie. Like, it was such a bad movie, but it is freaking awesome. And he is hysterical in it. Peter O'Toole is awesome in it. Mm-hmm. Is it Cliff, who's a reggae singer who was in it? I always forget. I always want to say Ziggy Marley, and it's not. Cliff, oh, that's going to drive me nuts. Every single time I talk about this movie, I forget his name. But yes, that is an awesome, awesome movie. I can't believe I forgot to mention that. Darn it.
Here to help you.
Thank you, Josh.
I am here for you. Really like Hook. And ooh. I remember seeing that in the theater, and I just watched that today. And it's a wonderful parable about being an attorney, because he's a corporate lawyer, does M&A and takeovers and is addressing shareholders. And because of his job, his family life sucks because he's at the office all the time.
Yeah.
You know, taking work calls during his daughter's play, missing his son's, you know, final baseball game because he's trying to close a deal, and, you know, having a shootout with an associate on who can draw their phone the fastest. And so it's like, on one level, you watch this, and the beginning is just a giant warning label on the dangers of practicing law to your family. Because you watch, it's just like, oh God, you know, please don't do that. Have work-life balance. Don't neglect your kids. They're only young for a short period. To Awakenings, I thought was phenomenal.
Yes.
And, you know, also a tearjerker.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a special fondness for The Birdcage.
You, Josh?
I
do. You know, I do think probably a lot of Republicans love The Birdcage.
It's a fun family flick about acceptance.
Yes.
and about people of two very, very different backgrounds coming together with a mutual, you know, obstruction. In this case, it was the press.
And that was because Gene Hackman was the politician, right?
Yeah, the uber conservative. And, you know, there's this, you know, wonderful, you know, it's like, so you have, you know, the right wing uber family values type. And, you know, the exchange with Nathan Lane after Lane has realized that, you know, he's not in drag. It's Nathan Lane is a man in it, you know, because he is. And the comment of like, you know, we agree with the family values too.
That's
and
right.
The look of like, oh, okay. You know, and that. So I've always enjoyed that message from it.
It is. I've always enjoyed that movie. Obviously, certainly lines up with a lot of my views. The thing though that stuck out, just kind of a random aside mm-hmm. from that movie, is Hank Azaria. Because he went from, I think his name was Ned, the dog walker, and Mad About You, kind of this nerdy, dorky guy, to all of a sudden like, ba-boom, this body and these tight cutoffs and everything. And I was like, who is the same guy? And that was kind of the beginning of, he had a really brief period there where he was almost a movie star and a ton of fun, but he couldn't quite break through. But that was quite a breakout role for him, I must say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it was just the fun quotes of like, is Ted here? As in Ted Kennedy. And you know, just little things like that. I was like, okay, this is, but you could see the, you know, his body language in all the movies, because it was method acting. You could, there are some actors where they're just basically them. And Williams looked like he took on the body language of the character he was playing.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, that's one of, and a lot of comics are actually really good at the darker roles, because that was, he did like the 1 hour photo mm-hmm. where he was very dark, and then he could do, you're right, I mean, he did the goofy manic kind of Robin Williams that we know in Aladdin, even a version of that in Good Morning Vietnam, but then like he could do kind of the warm and loving teacher sort of role too, like in Dead Poets Society and Good Will Hunting. And you're right, really when you're watching those movies, you're not thinking, oh, this is Robin Williams. Like, I love George Clooney, but in every single movie, it's George Clooney kind of thing. And it's George Clooney being awesome. And so I will watch. But Robin Williams, when he's not doing the manic comedy kind of thing, you would forget it was him. And he did become each of those characters, which is why he actually did have a huge range of roles that he could play.
Yeah, I was watching one of the lesser known independent ones last night, and I had to stop at the halfway point. But it's called World's Greatest Dad.
Oh.
And he's a poetry teacher at a private high school, single father, and the son is a pervert. And I'm not giving away a spoiler here, but the description of the film is the son dies in an embarrassing accident, and dad ghostwrites the suicide note.
Oh.
And the kid, you know, killed himself with a belt and autoerotic asphyxiation. And William's reaction to that is rip out your heart, pain and anguish. And I mean, like, you could see, you know, like a believable look of loss and gut-wrenchingness. But since the kid died with a belt, I had to turn it off after that. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw up. It was not okay.
No.
But what he did, being able to be a character, was just amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I guess I forget now, but I think he actually has several movies coming out too, which will always be, it's always sad to see that, a little bit hard to see that. One that I want to take the kids to is, of course, A Night at the Museum, which is just, you know, it's a fun series at this point that's good for the kids, but he is adorable as Teddy Roosevelt in it. I'm like, I can't think of anyone better to play Teddy Roosevelt than him. But it will be sad to, a little bit hard to see some of these movies coming out with him in it and remember what we've lost.
I think it's 3 or 4 that he's in, and I remember seeing the first Night at the Museum on Christmas Day with family, and that was fun because it's a good family.
It is.
Outing that the entire family can go. The parents won't be bored.
No. You know,
it's something everyone can enjoy. And he nails being TR.
Yeah.
And that's fun. There are many other roles as well. The I mean, being attorneys, thinking about equal protection and Bicentennial Man is interesting. Did you see that one?
I never saw that.
Where he's an android that's owned by a family, and he lives for 2 centuries. And over the course of his life, he wants to become human. So he's constantly upgrading, be going from robot to, I think, what would technically be synthoid, because it's a synthetic man at that point in time. And one of the big equal protection issues, because government didn't want to give him personhood.
Sure.
It's like, you won't die. You don't have the human experience because you'll just keep going. And that's part of the story.
Oh, wow.
So that's, it's a good one. No, you first.
Well, I was going to say a hard one, actually, that kind of surprised me when I saw it. It was an early one of his, The World According to Garp, actually, which when I saw it, I was confused for 2 reasons. One, I was used to thinking of Robin Williams as a funny actor, and I was younger. And two, I also got it confused with the golf movies that Tim Conway did. What were those?
Awesome. On his knees, a little shoe. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, what was the name of those? And I'm forgetting the name of those.
Oh, I am
golfing
too,
but... according to something. But anyway, so I was totally shocked. I was really expecting something in line with those Tim Conway golf movies, and was very surprised when that's not what it was at all. Although, and again, it actually had, well, it's Irving, so of course it had some very depressing moments in it, some very hard moments. But he again was very good at playing a very serious role.
Yeah, I remember another from that time period called, was it Survivor or The Survivors? Hanging out with a survivalist and things that go wrong with fear of nuclear war and, yeah, just, you know, the militant survivors out in, you know, pick Montana or some wooden area where not many people live and things going horribly wrong. One that I saw on the strangest plane flight I ever had was RV. And it started as a flight from New York to Toronto to do an e-discovery seminar. And because of thunderstorms at Toronto Airport, we landed at Hamilton in Canada, which is like a 20-minute drive from Toronto. But because it's not an international terminal, none of us could get off the airplane. So on the ground, we watched RV. So in the flight between Hamilton to Toronto, we watched RV. And like while we were waiting and hanging out, I was talking with the person across from me and said what I did and who I was. And a lady 2 rows behind went, "You're Josh Gilliland?" And she knew who I was.
That happens to you all the time, doesn't it, Josh?
She was also an e-discovery person at a law firm. And, you know, because I was talking about the product at the company that I was at and what I was going to be doing in town, and she was going to be seeing me the next day. So we met on the plane. And
you're like a movie star yourself, having run-ins with fans on airplanes.
It's happened a couple times.
Wow.
That's weird, but it's weird when that happens. And... kind of fun to get the, "Hey, you're," it happened Monday.
Oh, no way.
Sunday, actually. Sunday. It was, I was dog sitting and walked across the street to the little market, and a lady walking out stopped in her tracks and went, "Josh Gilliland." And I thought,
whoa.
Wait, what? And it was redhead. And I was like, she looks familiar. And I knew her when she was blonde, and we were coworkers. I didn't see her in 6 years, but it was just at random. Well, I'll be.
Josh is like, he says, going through the list in his head. Did I tell her I would call, and I forgot?
It, you know, that there was that moment of fear of, did we fight in high school? What was going on here? Because there are those who don't like me, so.
No.
Hey, there are. It's weird. So, but, yeah, that's quite the range
It is. He's done a lot of amazing things. But you're right. I mean, he can play creepy, but most of the time, lovable. I never really watched. I watched once and I enjoyed it, but just couldn't add any more shows to my list. The Crazy Ones, which obviously I actually loved a lot of people on the cast because it had him, number one, and he was the center and fabulous. It, of course, had Buffy, which is awesome. And then it also had, I think his name is Hamish Linkletter, Christine's brother from The New Adventures of Old Christine, who was just, he was one of my favorite characters on that, which is one of my favorite shows. So, you know, and I think he was doing quite well, too. So I think he was beloved on TV. Once again, he had returned to his TV roots.
And they canceled it, so which was also
weird. Oh, did they? Oh, I did not realize that. Oh.
Yeah, so.
I thought it was doing well.
It could have been. And
oh,
so,
man. Networks.
They are weird ones. That's the people who make Korra. But I digress. Yeah, but it's. I will always have a special place for Mork and Mindy. I had Mork suspenders when I was a kid. My brother and I both did. We wore them religiously. So, a very fond memory of watching him over the years. And, you know, he will be missed because he was such a talented actor and a kind human being.
He will be missed, but he will be remembered and he will always be loved. My kids, besides Aladdin, I don't know if they've even seen Mrs. Doubtfire. Well, I guess I've seen Night at the Museum. But as they grow up, they'll be seeing more of his movies. So he will leave a legacy. He'll keep people laughing even now after he's passed. So hopefully that's some consolation to his family.
Yes. Did you see The Butler? Because he played Eisenhower in that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. And there was some criticism over historical accuracy.
No.
Some presidents were nicer, but not depicted that way. So that was, there was criticism over that. Others who weren't nice, who were depicted nice. I mean, just weird, you know.
Huh.
So there was some criticism, but I thought he looked like Ike in the previews.
Yeah. And I was I don't remember him in there. Huh.
It was very quick because it was Eisenhower was painting.
Ah.
And he asked, you know, where'd you go to school? And there was a picture of him in the suit. And I was like, wow, that does look like Ike.
Wow.
So I was, yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad he got to play president, too.
Two.
That's right. I forgot. Teddy, that's a better one. That's right.
Two. Both successful.
That's so, right.
Anyway, with that, everyone, thank you for tuning in. And we'll have a more uplifting podcast in the near future. But until then, let's all get together for a hug. Everyone's going to be okay. And everyone, you know, remember from the end of Hook, life is the great adventure.
Aww.